principles of character that are necessary in our lives. One of the things that I think is very, very important is as we look around the room here, we see many young faces. And I just want to remind you that these young faces in just a few short years are going to be men and ladies. They're going to be grown. They're going to be the doctors and lawyers and nurses and chefs and mechanics and plumbers. Lord, help us, politicians. And they're going to be the leaders in our communities in not too many years. Not only that, they will be the leaders in our churches. The Sunday school teachers, the ushers, the deacons, maybe even the pastor, pastor's wife, missionary, they're going to be a leader. If God tarries, this generation that we're raising here right now in just a few short years is not going to be long. They're going to be leading somewhere. If God allows them to find somebody that loves them enough to marry them, they'll get married, and God will bless them with children, and then we'll be able to sit back and laugh as they reap. Amen, as we're talking about sowing and reaping. We'll be able to look and say, aha, you see why we said that and why these things were so, and we'll get to kind of play the role of grandparent. Those of us that are older and more mature will sit back and watch and get to see that take place and hopefully be a help and encouragement along the way as well. But as we consider that end, let us not forget that the sad fact is the majority of young people today are ill-prepared for what's coming. They are very ill-prepared to be a leader and really just to live their life because of this area of character that is so lacking in society today. Now, truth of the matter is it's not as much the child's fault as it is mom and dad's fault. This idea in this mentality that we don't want our kids to have to work as hard as we did. Why? You working that hard is what made you who you are today. Why do you want your son or daughter to be a bum? Which is what you raise them to be if they don't do any work. Oh, we don't want them to have to suffer, to go through the struggles that we went through, but the struggles are what shaped you. And if they don't do any struggling, they're going to make it to life and they're going to be ready to go into life and they're going to be looking for safe space. They're going to be looking for that room that they can hide in. When what they need is character. Parents, we've got to impart this principle of character, not just in our lives, it is necessary, and I believe that as we discuss these topics, I hope that they are as challenging to you as adults as they are to me as I've studied, but I hope also we keep in the forefront of our mind the importance of imparting these truths to the young generation that they might carry it on. We're dealing tonight with a character trait of dependability. For a homegrown illustration, I'll remind you of, the problem with giving an illustration like this is there's people that have feelings about this guy. Regardless of what he was or what he wasn't, you know that Cal Ripken Jr. broke a world record. Lou Gehrig's record of 2,130 games played in a row. Lou Gehrig got that record because for 15 seasons he never missed a game. For 15 seasons, 2,131 consecutive games, he played when he was supposed to play. He played when he had a broken toe. Once when he had a broken rib. One time when he had a broken thumb. One time when he was playing with a twisted back. He played through attacks of the cold and the flu. And generally, just not feeling good. Yet he just continued to play. He was dependable. We need dependability. As I've already stated, the character traits that we're looking at them because these traits are found in Christ. And as Christians, it is our job and responsibility to be like Christ. We want to be like Christ, so as I look at these character traits, I'm looking at that and looking at it in the life of Christ and thinking we want to be like Christ, so this should be part of every Christian's life. I believe that every one of you here know that Christ was dependable. God is dependable. A Bible word that defines dependability would be faithful. Faithful. I doubt that anybody here has forgotten, but sometimes life throws curveballs at us, and maybe you've been there where you've looked up and you thought, God, did you forget about me? God, did you realize what I'm going through here? Lord, I'm not sure. If life's done that for you, then let me just remind you a little bit for just a second about the faithfulness of our God. Let me just give you a couple of the verses. In Psalms 89, verse number 5 says, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness is also in the congregation of the saints." God is faithful. In Psalms 89, verse number 8, he says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, Lord, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee." In verse number 34, he says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." That's the faithfulness of God. If he has said something, if he's given us a promise, if he has stated something, you can take it to the bank, you can be guaranteed, you can be assured that he will do it. We could take the balance of tonight and the next couple of weeks talking about the faithfulness of God. How God is faithful and what he said will happen. And sometimes we wonder about it, but you know what? He said one day every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. And do you know what? That's going to happen. That's going to happen because it was promised by God. In Numbers 23, verse number 19, he says, "God is not a man that he should lie." Huh? What does that tell you about the nature of men? God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Whatever God says, whatever he's spoken, he's going to do. Deuteronomy 7, verse number 9 says, "Now therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." 1,000, that's a long time. If he's made a promise, he'll keep it unto 1,000 generations. Lamentations 3:23, that very familiar verse, talking about the mercies of God. The mercies of God, he says, they are new every morning. They're new every morning. Every morning. Every morning, every morning. Faithful, 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 faithful. "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." His mercies are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God is dependable. Amen? I hope you're fully convinced of that fact, that you serve a faithful, a dependable God. But the question tonight is, if this is a character trait of God and Christ Jesus, and we as Christians are supposed to be Christ-like, this character trait of dependability should be present in our lives. So the question is, how dependable are you? How dependable are you? Let's look, first of all, this evening at the definition of dependability. I told you as we went through this, we want to look at and think about the opposites of these character traits so that we might be able to better understand the direction and the focus of the discussion. The opposite of dependability is inconsistency. Is inconsistency. Somebody who's just not consistent. The mercies of God are renewed every morning without fail, given to us by God every morning, every morning, every morning. Do you know what? Most of us don't like doing things that we have to do every morning. In anything in our life that has to be done over and over and over and over again, we're like, man, I hate doing that. Or, boy, I don't want to do that. Why do I got to do this every day? Why do I always got to make my bed or whatever? You know, whatever it is, we want to avoid those things that have to be done every day. I remember a message that Bill Rice III came to Fairhaven and he preached a message about the Christian life. And the title of his message was Brush Your Teeth. He said, you get up every morning and there's some things that you're just supposed to do when you get out of bed. You're supposed to brush your teeth. And hopefully by the time you get into college, you've developed a habit in your life that you don't even really think about it. You just get out of bed, you go brush your teeth. I hope that that's the case. Then he talked about and illustrated and laid the foundation that basically, as a Christian, it should be such a pattern of our life, living for God, doing right, walking with God day by day, reading our Bible, that it's as normal and as repetitious as just brushing your teeth. You just do it because that's what you're supposed to do every day. How dependable are you? Or are you inconsistent? The dictionary gives us several different ways of looking at this. The online dictionary said this, that it's the quality of being trustworthy and reliable. We want to be trustworthy and reliable, amen? But the 1828 dictionary really defines this word in a biblical characteristic in a much stronger way. It quite literally means to hang down. You think about the idea of dependability, and something is hanging all of their trust is hanging from a bar or is hanging from the eave of a house, is complete and total reliability given to that thing, hanging from it. Like you and I depend upon breathing to live. We have to have it. It has to be there. We literally are hanging our life on the ability to breathe. We need oxygen. The idea of being dependable. Are you that dependable that somebody could literally hang their life on your dependability? To hang down like you and I are dependable upon God for our life. The etymology of this word comes from two Latin words. I'm not going to pretend to try and speak Latin, but the first fraction of this, if you break it down, is de, which means down or from. And pinder, which means to hang. If you think about this, when you say the word pending, I've got a check out there and payment's pending. It's kind of in the air. It's waiting. You're waiting for it, right? It's pending. It's not quite that. That's where the etymology of the word comes from, to hang down. Quite literally, we're talking about putting complete dependence upon somebody. To be connected to something so important or so dependable, our very existence relies upon it. Some Bible words that can be used to establish or teach the idea of dependability, we've looked at one of those already, and that is faithfulness. As you look through the Word of God and you find the word faithfulness, whether it's an admonition to us to be faithful, as we see, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. That word could be dependable. It's required of us by God that we be dependable. Another Bible word would be steadfast. Steadfast. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Dependable. Steadfast. Like a lighthouse that's there in its place, always shining its light, doing its job, what it's supposed to do. It's dependable. It's steadfast. Another word would be trust. Trust. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Trust. Can you be trusted? Are you dependable? Could I say, Timothy, I got $5 here, and I'm going to give this to you, and sometime before the night's done, I need you to get it to Bob. I got to give him this $5 to help buy dog food for his dogs. Won't buy much dog food for $5, but whatever it might be, could I trust him to do that? Or would I have to say, oh, I think I better give it to Marty. I'm not sure if he's going to get it there. How trustworthy are you? I'm not saying he would steal it. What if he forgot? Oh, I forgot. Still wasn't very dependable, was he? I needed to get this to Bob tonight. He was supposed to go be able to get dog food. This was important. And it didn't happen. Personally, I kind of wrote it out like this for a definition of dependability. Is willing to sacrifice to complete all I consented to do. Willing to sacrifice to complete all I consented to do. You know, it's not necessarily even all that I was asked to do or all that I was told to do or all that's required of me. It's all that I consented to do. Willing, even if that means personal sacrifice, willing to do whatever I've consented to do. You see, let's go back. If I gave this money to Tim and told him to get this to Bob, and Tim was out in the parking lot and he's playing soccer with the other young people and they're having a good time. And he sees Bob come out and sees that he's getting in his car, except that Tim wants to play soccer. And it's right in the middle of an important part of the game and he wants to get that done. He can't just run out, but he's going to miss Bob because Bob's leaving. So a dependable person stops playing the game, sacrifices what he wants to do, and goes and does what he's supposed to do. Willing to sacrifice to complete all that I've consented to do. Dependability occurs when you're willing to pay the price to keep any promise that you've made to someone else. You're willing to pay the price to keep the promise that you've made to someone else. There's three variables in this. People, promises, and a price. We make promises and agreements with people. We've got those promises out there. Sometimes circumstances change, situations change. Are we willing to pay the price to do it? There's a damage that comes when we're not dependable. What is the damage done when we're undependable, when we can't be relied upon? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Have you ever had a broken tooth? I just had one last week. It actually happened about 2.5 weeks ago. My dentist couldn't see me for like 12 days. I had a busted tooth. So for 12 days, you know what? I had to eat pureed food. I mean, I couldn't really chew, right? You know what the problem is when you need it, you can't use it, right? Because it's not dependable. You got a broken tooth and you need it. You need to be able to chew your food up, but you can't. Or you've got a hurt, a foot out of joint, and you've got things you need to do, but you just can't because of the pain, because it's not dependable. Man, I think about the biggest hardship of a broken tooth or a foot out of joint is when you need it, it's not there. When you need it, you realize it can't be counted upon. When we are not reliable, when we're not dependable, we let other people down. We let others down. You know, Brian, who went home today from rehab, you know, the ligaments tore off of his knee. And what happened is he was walking down some steps, and he was by a store, and the last step was a couple inches further than the rest of the steps. And it didn't register to him. And have you ever stepped down a step and you went to the bottom and you just jarred yourself because the distance was different? Well, he did that. It jarred him. And then he just went all the way down to the ground, didn't know what happened. But just that quick, his knee gave out. All the strength was gone. The tendons were separated from the bone, and they had to do surgery and tie it back in there. It just gave out. It just wasn't reliable. It was unexpected that his leg, you know, he's never had that problem before. He didn't walk down the steps like wondering, okay, wait a second, is my leg gonna hold up? Okay. Is this no? He had an expectation that his legs were going to hold up, but when they didn't, do you know what? He's got a brace on right now, but you know he walks kind of gingerly. He walks a little hesitantly, wondering, is this going to hold up? Is this going to work? And that's what happens when we're not dependable. We let other people down, and then they look at you and wonder, is he going to be there? Is he going to do the job? Is he going to do what was asked of him? There's a great disappointment when we let others down. It causes pain. You know, even if we forgot, and I know we like to be able to use that, I forgot. You see, we remember what's important to us. And let's make it real practical and real simple. And I told my kids this was in my illustrations. But you know, sometimes Mary will ask me, she'll say, hey, hon, could you bring home some bread? And I'll say, sure, I can bring home. I mean, I'm at the grocery store already. I'm not making a special trip. I'm going there to get, you know, Swiss cake rolls or whatever. And so I'll go get what I want. And I'll get all the way home and walk in the door. And the love of my life looks at me and she says, hey, what kind of bread you get? Oh, hon. I forgot. It shouldn't be that flippant. It ought to be more important than that. I remembered what I wanted from the store. I remembered to pick up the oil or whatever else I was getting, the Twizzlers. But I forgot the bread. I should go to the store with the thing on my mind. I got one thing to get from the store. I got one thing to get from the store. I got to get bread. If I forget something, I got to forget the Twizzlers. But you remember what's important to you. And you know what? This is a habit a lot of times, especially in relationships, where we let each other down. And we think that they should just understand. And praise God, they do. They're gracious with us and they're forgiving. But do you understand it's a pattern that we should not grow and build upon? We ought to desire to change it and become more dependable. And young people, you have got to desire to be dependable. And yes, there's times you might say, oh, Dad, I forgot, or oh, I forgot to do that. But listen, you're building a pattern in your life of undependability, where you're not reliable. You spend money on something that was supposed to be for something else. You and your mate, you've agreed, okay, we're going to save up. We're going to save everything we can save, and we're going to wait until we can buy this. And then you, sir, or you, ma'am, you're at the store, and you see something that's a good deal, and you think, oh, it'll be okay. And you go ahead and spend that money when it was supposed to be set aside for something else. That hurts your relationship. It hurts your relationship. You've broken trust. That word trust that we talked about, you've broken trust. That goes down the line. Broken trust. When you lie about something, whether that dishonesty is just a flat out lie, or that dishonesty is hiding the truth from your mate, whatever that might be, you say, oh, I don't want them to know that I spent that money, so I'm going to tear up the receipt. Or I don't want them to know that, you know, I went to this place today, and so I'm going to hide the evidence. I mean, you're trying to be deceitful. You're breaking the trust. And you're not dependable. The trust is broken. It goes all the way down to committing adultery, where the trust is broken. It ought to be the promise that we made till death do us part. Ought to carry us through. There ought to be something inside of us that says, hey, this is what I said I'm going to do. This is what I said I'm going to do, so I have to do it. I am going to be dependable. When trust is broken, hesitation comes. We feel like that person's not reliable. Just like Brian with his knee, stepping carefully because he's concerned every time he goes down a step now for the next year probably. He's going to step off and he's going to think, is it going to go out again? And we, sometimes in our relationships, when our mate, we've proven ourselves not to be trustworthy, we've proven ourselves undependable, and when you come in and your mate says, you forgot the bread, didn't you? What? You're going to hold that against me forever? Hey, you're the one that did it, okay? You're the one that keeps forgetting the bread. You know, when for the next year, he's going to be stepping gingerly just because he's a little concerned his leg might give out again. And when we've proven ourselves not to be dependable, when our mate or our loved ones or kids, when your parents come to you and they say, did you get this done? You didn't do your homework, did you? And you say, what, you don't trust me to get my homework done? You've proven that you don't do your homework on your own schedule. That you need oversight, you're the one that established the level of dependability that you have. Don't get mad at other people when they question your dependability, when your dependability is questionable. Hello? That's the way it is. And sometimes a husband or a wife will get mad at their mate because the mate is a little hesitant to trust them. Sir or ma'am, you're the one that has proven yourself to be less than dependable. If you want to change that, you can. But you've done some damage. We're going to talk about building dependability in a minute. Trust is broken. When you're not dependable, you lose opportunities. If men learn that you're not dependable, they will not ask you to come and participate or be available or to do the next opportunity that comes up. I'm going to give you a quick illustration. I worked for a leisure company in the city of Chicago, And we installed pool tables and spas and gazebos and swimming pools and foosball tables and ping pong tables. We installed all that stuff all around the city of Chicago. And I had only been working there for a couple of months. Well, there was a large company, I don't know if it's AT&T or Verizon, somebody like that. They rented out the Chicago Zoo. And they bought like 8 pool tables, 5 foosball tables, 10 ping pong tables, 7 foosball tables. They bought all these and hired us to go to the zoo and to set them all up just around the zoo for their employees to play on while they're at the zoo. And they asked me to go with a crew of guys to set all this stuff up. And then we got to be there the whole night at the zoo while they had this big shindig and eat all their food and relax and play around at the zoo. And then in the evening when they were all done with their shindig, we got to take all that stuff down, load it into our trucks, and the next day go deliver it where we're supposed to go. But they asked me to do that. They've got people that have been working for them for years. But they had proven themselves to be a little less than dependable. I only been there a couple of months. And they said, Caleb, will you take some guys and get this done? We had a great time. It was an event that, you know, for the most part, especially the rest of my friends or employees or people at the job, they would have really loved it. They would have loved it. I mean, you can imagine, it's a world's party, so they would have loved it. You know, I had to find places to get away from what was going on. But that would have been right up their alley. They would have enjoyed that evening. But they didn't get to do it. Why? Because they were less than dependable. You lose opportunities when you're not dependable. Someone who's less than dependable, most of the time, it's because they're selfish. What it boils down to is they want to do what they want to do. And they're thinking about themselves and their own schedule. They're not willing to sacrifice for somebody else. They're just selfish. Life happens. Things get in the way. But you make adjustments and you pay the price to be a dependable person. So the development of dependability, how do we develop this in our life? Okay, first of all, you must establish a pattern of good works. Establish a pattern of good works. Titus 2, verse number 7. In all things show thyself a pattern of good works unto doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. There's a pattern of good works. Just like I talked about how you can change the pattern that you've set. You can change what people know about you. If you wonder why your mate questions you, or you wonder why somebody thinks you might not have done a job that you should have done, it's because of the pattern you've set. What you've got to do is you've got to change the pattern. Change the pattern that you want people to know about you. Have a pattern of good works. Something that you do over and over and over again. Brother Taylor was telling me about how he made a kerplunk game for the Bible club. And he's talking about how he had these little dowels that he had to cut. And I don't remember how many there were, but lots and lots and lots and lots of little dowels he had to cut to make this kerplunk game. And he's saying, man, I had to cut so many of them. You know, it's just same thing over and over. Well, he has a pattern so that he can make every one of them the same, so that it's the same, so that he does it over and over. And that's what we need to establish in our life, is a pattern of doing good works. I've tried to teach my kids, if they want to be trusted, they have to build trust by getting caught doing good. You see, we look at it a lot of times and think, oh, I'm going to get caught doing wrong. So we hide. But see, when there's an opportunity to do wrong and you get caught, listen, if I say I'm going to be home at 2 o'clock and I get home at 2 o'clock and I come in and you're sitting there reading your Bible... Okay, amen. But listen, if I say I'm going to be home at 2 o'clock and I something changes and I'm able to get home at 11, and I come home at 11 and I come in and you're doing school or you're reading your Bible, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you got caught doing right. If you want to build a pattern of trust, you got to do right. Do a pattern of good works continually. And if you're doing right continually, you'll get caught doing good. It's just going to happen. You're just going to get caught doing good, and you'll build that type of reputation. It's something that is dependable. Doing the assignments you're supposed to do, or the things that you've been given or that you've agreed to, then those around you will start to trust you. I know that a lot of you probably don't care for Big Macs. Some of you do. A Big Mac sandwich. My kids and I were talking about tonight's message, and I said, you know what? That would make a good illustration of dependability. And they said, what? And I said, because it's doing the same thing. You know, you can go to get a Big Mac sandwich here, right here in Hunt Valley, and whether you like the taste or not, it's going to taste like a Big Mac. And you could go get a Big Mac sandwich in China, and it's going to taste like a Big Mac. Something that McDonald's has built their company around is that you knew what you were going to get. No matter where you were at in the country, any franchise, any branch, you were going to get a mediocre burger with a lot of bread. No, whatever it is. Maybe you like them. I don't know. But I'm saying this is what you're going to get. It's going to be the same everywhere you go. The French fries are going to be McDonald's French fries. And that's how they're going to taste, whether you get them here or get them in Alabama. Alabama, the people there, or let's say Louisiana, maybe they want Cajun stuff on them. But McDonald's says, no, you're going to make them like this because we want them to be the same no matter where you go. That's what dependability is. Being the same, doing the same thing over and over. I believe a measure of dependability is expected in every believer, in every position that you hold. Whatever your responsibility, whether we're talking about an idea of being a father, being a husband, being a man, being a pastor, being a church member, being a mom, whatever responsibility you have, there's a measure of dependability that's required of you by God. And when the unexpected happens, it does not give you an excuse to be undependable. It gives you the opportunity to display your dependability. Let me say that again. When the unexpected happens, it does not give you an excuse to miss your responsibility. It gives you an opportunity to display your dependability. You see, our mindset today is, something came up, so it's okay if I miss my responsibility, or if I miss work, or if I'm a couple hours late, it's not going to matter because I had to wait in line at the bank to get my check cashed. Whatever it is, and the level of inconvenience to you is completely subjective, by the way. But in our world today, people can come up with any excuse to miss a responsibility. And it's supposed to just be okay. And somehow that doesn't affect their level of dependability. But it does, doesn't it? It does. You see, you sacrifice even if it costs you to keep your word, to be on time, to do what you're supposed to do, it's an opportunity to display how dependable you can be, not an excuse to get out of it. Too many people are looking for excuses to get out of doing what they're supposed to do for everything. Why don't we just use that an opportunity? I mean, man, it was hard. I got a flat tire. I had to change it on the side of the road. And then I ran out of gas. And then I had to run 4 miles in order to get to work on time. Most people today, after the flat tire, they wouldn't even go to work. The rest of the day, they'd miss the whole day. What happened? Oh, I had a flat tire. I had to call somebody to change it because, you know, I'm going to be nice. I missed my whole day of work because I got a flat tire. What? Psalms chapter 15 in verse number 1 through verse number 5. Psalms 15, 1 through 5, and the Psalm of David, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He asked the question, God, who's going to be fellowshipping with you? Who is it, God, that's going to just really be dwelling with you? You read through the next verses, and he gives some descriptions of this man. It's he that walketh uprightly, he that worketh in righteousness, he that speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. He that taketh reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them. Last part of verse number 4, he says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Who's going to dwell with God? The one that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. What he's saying is, the guy that said I was going to be there at 2 o'clock and then found out that his favorite show was on at 1 o'clock and he was going to have to miss it in order to keep his assignment, his agreement. He said he was going to be there. So now he's got to sacrifice. He's got to give up the show he likes to be on time, to be where he's supposed to be. Now, that's a very weak and anemic thing, but listen, this is what I'm talking about, whatever it cost us to show that we're dependable. The one that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Someone who makes a promise and then keeps it. Lord Palmerston, a British prime minister under Queen Victoria, was crossing the Westminster Bridge one day when a little girl in front of him carrying a bottle of milk slipped and fell, and the bottle of milk hit the ground and it cracked, and of course the milk went everywhere. Didn't have plastic jugs back then. This little girl, of course, she began to weep. She had lost this milk she was supposed to carry home, and she was just broken about it. Lord Palmerston, the Prime Minister of England, said, hey, if you'll meet me here tomorrow at this time, I will buy, I'll pay for that glass jug and pay to have it filled again with milk. And the girl got a big smile on her face, and he said, you got to meet me here tomorrow at this time. And she said, okay. The only thing is, the next morning, an emergency meeting of Parliament was called. And he was in Parliament when he stood up and said, men, I have to excuse myself because I have a prior engagement that I cannot miss. He left a meeting with Parliament to keep his word and met a little girl on a bridge to buy her some milk. That's dependability. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Keep your word. You've got to, developing this in your life, you got to establish a pattern of good works. You got to believe in the measure of dependability that we have as God wants us to have it. Lastly, you've got to ignore your feelings. You've got to ignore your feelings. Too many of us today are led by our feelings. What we feel like, what we want to do and what we don't want to do based on how we feel. Anytime you hear yourself say, I don't feel like it, you better check yourself because you're probably just about to be less than dependable. Right. I don't feel like going to work today. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like it. And we allow our life to be run by how we feel. And when we do that, we're less than dependable. We need to be led by what is right and what we've committed to. And if we've said, hey, I'll be there. And by the way, that means on time. When you're not on time, you're not dependable. You've got to ignore your feelings. We even like to spiritualize it. We like to take our feelings and say, the Holy Spirit's leading me to not go to work today. God has given me direction. He showed me that it's raining and it would be hard to do what I need to do today, so I'm going to do it. We turned it all into God's will and we've prayed about it, and I think a bunch of it's baloney. We need to ignore our feelings and do what we're supposed to do. God leads through His Word. Don't spiritualize it. Let me close with this thought. Where would we be in our lives without those low-key, self-effacing individuals who just do what they're supposed to do day after day after day? Do you ever notice or find opportunity to thank those dependable people in your life who make your life easier? Those who prepare your meals. Those who clean your office or take out the garbage. Those who deliver your mail or drop off your boxes. Those who clean your roads or serve in the church here in many continuous aspects, week after week after week. Do we think about them? Do we notice them, those that are just dependable? Do we thank those all around us, the dependable people that we count on? And then, if we realize and acknowledge how valuable those kind of people are to us, the question again I ask you tonight is, how dependable are you?